read God's Word this morning from John chapter 6, the Gospel according to John chapter 6. The text that we consider is verse 37 of John chapter 6. We'll read verses 22 through 40 this morning. John 6, verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus was not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Thus far we read the Word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his Word. I call your attention this morning to verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This morning we celebrate communion. Children, do you know why we call the sacrament of communion the Lord's Supper? Is it because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who instituted this sacrament? Yes, that's true. You remember the day before he died, how the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of that we call communion. And is it because in communion we look back and remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, that's true too. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." But there's another reason why we call this the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. And that is because this morning, the host, that is the one who administers and gives the bread and the wine, and not only physical bread and wine, but the heavenly bread and the heavenly wine, the one who is the host, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. To partake with a believing heart of the sacrament of communion is to partake of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. He administers communion through the minister and through the elder. He gives His body, gives His blood to His people who embrace the sacrament with a believing heart. And that means this morning that when the confessing members of this congregation come to the table to partake of the bread and the wine, they are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore you can see then that on this occasion when we celebrate the sacrament of communion or the Lord's Supper, that this text that we consider is an appropriate text. For in the text, Jesus Christ twice speaks of those who come to Him. He identifies those who come to Him as all whom the Father hath given me. And He speaks of the great blessing of those who come to Him. Those who come to Him will not be cast out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who come to Him will be received by Jesus Christ. They will be embraced by Him. And they will be given life. They will be nourished by the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever, unto eternal life. So, consider with me this morning, on the occasion of the administration of the Lord's Supper, this text, under that theme, coming to Jesus. And we're going to notice three things as we consider this text this morning. First of all, the necessity of this. It is necessary to come to Jesus. Secondly, the certainty of this. Jesus doesn't speak of any doubt here, but that all who have been given to Him by the Father will come. And then thirdly, we will consider the eternal blessedness. Jesus says, "I will not cast them out, those who come to me." So coming to Jesus, the necessity, the certainty, and then thirdly, the blessedness. Coming to Jesus is an important and a necessary activity. Jesus is in the text saying, although the text is not in the form of a command, He is saying, "Come to me." He is saying, "You must come to me." That comes out when we take the phrases in the text together. When Jesus says here in the text, And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You understand that the implication is that Jesus is saying, in anyone who does not come to me, I will cast out. There is no salvation for anyone who does not come to me. And in the context here in the chapter and many other places, Jesus connects coming to him with coming to the Father. And the meaning is this, that if anyone does not come to me, he also does not come to the Father. And if anyone does not come to me, him will I cast out, but him will the Father also cast out. What Jesus is saying is this, if you do not come to me, you will know nothing of the life and the fellowship of me and my Father. But I will cast you out into death and isolation and darkness forever. This is today offensive. As it was in that day, when you read John chapter 6, and you read the whole of the chapter, because of the length, we did not do that this morning. You may do that. You will see that Jesus Christ was very definitely offending those who had come to him physically by telling many of them they do not have salvation because they didn't come to him. There is no salvation for those people who seem to be good, moral, from an outward point of view, who have not come to Jesus Christ. There is no salvation for those people in the world who promote virtue and speak much about virtue and seem to live virtuous lives who have not come to Jesus Christ. Men and women who devote themselves to the work of charity. Men and women who devote themselves to lifting up society for the betterment of society who have not come to Jesus. They have no salvation. That's the offense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of those who adhere to the other religions of the world, who in those false religions look for saviors other than the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they do not go to Jesus, but they go to those false gods, those false saviors, they have no salvation. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. That's the offense. But don't you see? That's also the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus came to bring that day near the Sea of Galilee, near the city of Capernaum. As Jesus is speaking to a crowd of sinners, Jesus' word to them is not this: the Father loves you all and desires all of you to be saved, and here's the good news, you in some way can save yourselves. No. Jesus came speaking to a crowd of sinners, telling them, you cannot save yourself. But this is the good news. I have come to save my people, all that the Father has given to me. And so, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And the only way of salvation is to go to Jesus, to come unto Him, using the language of Jesus. Now, what is that? Well, for our purposes this morning, let's notice that over and over again here in the context, Jesus Christ speaks of the activity of believing in Him. This is what is pleasing to the Father, that everyone, or that people should believe on Him, that is, on Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. This too is the answer to the question Jesus is speaking here about eating His flesh. And He speaks also about the fact that He is heavenly drink. And the question is, how do you eat Jesus Christ? How do you drink Jesus Christ? And the answer is this: believe. Embrace Him with your heart. Trust in Him for salvation. That's how you eat. That's how you drink. That's how you come. Or that's how you go to Jesus Christ. Those who come to Jesus by faith believe in Him. And those who do not believe in Him, that's how they do not come to Jesus. They reject Him. They despise Him. Coming to Jesus, then, is not an outward physical activity. The context makes that very plain. Jesus is surrounded at this time by a large crowd, thousands, 5,000 plus, maybe 10,000 people who have physically, they have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to Him the day before. The day before, you may remember, was the day when Jesus performed that great miracle of feeding this huge crowd of thousands of people with only 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. The people seeing that miracle wanted to make Jesus Christ their king, but Jesus knowing they wanted to make Him an earthly king, and knowing He's not that kind of a king, He is a spiritual king, Jesus Christ left the crowd. He crossed the Sea of Galilee, only not in the ship, not at first. The crowd did not see this, but Jesus Christ that night before walked upon the Sea of Galilee and then entered the ship with the disciples. And the people, because they were so wrapped up in excitement about Jesus Christ, they walked around the north side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side to find Jesus. And they asked Him, "When did you come?" And Jesus ignores that question because that's not the important thing. But He recognizes that they were looking for an earthly Savior. And He tells them this: "You've come to Me physically, but you really haven't come to Me at all. You haven't come to Me with your hearts. You don't believe in Me. You haven't humbled yourself because of your sins. You don't look to Me as your Savior. You haven't come to Me." Well, there's application of that to us this morning too. Coming to Jesus Christ is not a physical activity. Now, we know we can't do what the people did back then and follow Jesus Christ along the shores of the Sea of Galilee or Lake Michigan. We cannot go to the city of Capernaum or to the city of Grand Rapids and say, "Now we've come to Jesus Christ physically. He's in heaven." But it is important to come to Jesus, we know, by coming to church. It is important to come to Jesus by coming under the preaching of His Word. It is important to come to Jesus by coming to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We know that it's important to come to Jesus by reading His Word. But it is possible, isn't it, to do all of those things from an outward point of view, merely physically, and not come to Jesus in all of these activities by embracing Him with our hearts. To come to Jesus is a spiritual activity, you see. And it's a personal one too. Make sure that you understand that. You don't come to Jesus merely by being a member of the church, and you don't come to Jesus merely because your parents or your friends are believers. But coming to Jesus must be a personal spiritual activity in which you, with your own heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and say, He is my Savior and my Redeemer, and I love Him for myself. I love Jesus Christ. It's personal. And it is a humble activity. If anyone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with any other attitude but this, I'm a sinner and I have nothing in my hands. No righteousness, no good. If anyone comes with a different attitude, they do not really come to Jesus. You can't. You can't say that I am come to Jesus for my salvation if you're clinging to any of your own works or righteousness or worth. Because, don't you see, then you're not really going to Jesus and saying, You're my Savior, I put my faith and trust in You, but as long as you have anything in your hands, you're really saying, I'm my Savior, I've come to Me. You have to go to Jesus Christ humble and empty, and hungering and thirsting for Him. When the Apostle Paul thought that he was basically good in himself, because he was a Hebrew, a son of Abraham, a Benjamite, a Pharisee, blameless before the law, when he thought that he was righteous in himself, he could not go to Jesus Christ. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ when he, by faith, humbled himself, confessed all of his sins and his unworthiness, and was able to say, I am the chief of sinners. Then he could go to Jesus and say, You alone are my salvation. Have you done this morning? In this past week, did you prepare your heart to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a personal, humble faith? Did you come this morning only to eat bread and wine, or did you come this morning to confess your sins, your guilt, your helplessness, your need for the redeeming blood and the redeeming broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you come saying, yes, I'm a sinner, but I know that I am saved by Jesus Christ? Then you may know this morning that although the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, and you cannot walk around the Sea of Galilee to go see Him, you may know this morning that by faith you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have come to the Father. If you know that you are undeserving, if you know that you are even the least of all sinners, but you believe in Jesus Christ, then you have come to the Savior. Now you've done that, and you must do that. And if you have done that, you've done that by the grace of God. Jesus speaks here of the coming, the activity of coming to Him as a necessary activity. It is an activity that everyone who is saved must do. You must come to Jesus. But He speaks of this not as a condition. He speaks of this not as a prerequisite for salvation. He does not speak of coming to Him as a matter of chance. And He does not speak of coming to Him as something that is up to the man or the woman or the will of the man or the woman himself or herself. Coming to Jesus is determined not by the will of man, but by the will of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Jesus is speaking, notice, of a definite group of people. The word all does not refer to all men. That's not the idea here. But Jesus is speaking here of a certain group of people. Think of it this way. All of these chosen by the Father. That's not the language Jesus uses. He uses the language of the Father giving them to me. But why has the Father given all of these to Jesus Christ? And the answer is because all of these are chosen by the Father in His eternal decree of election. There are certain people known to the Father. He knows them by name because He chose them. And they're numbered by the Father. And their number cannot increase or decrease. These people are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now implied in this is the doctrine of reprobation. Jesus speaks of the doctrine of election. All these chosen by the Father, given to me by the Father. And then Jesus, by implication, is saying, and all the rest, because there are other men, they are not chosen by the Father. They are not chosen by the Father to be given to me. They are not chosen by the Father to be redeemed by me, to be saved by me. They are appointed by the Father instead to condemnation. It's this eternal decree of election and reprobation that determines who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The reprobate, they do not come to Jesus. And the explanation for that is that they are unbelieving. The explanation for that is that they are slaves to sin. They do not have free will. They will not choose to come to the Lord Jesus Christ of their own strength. But the explanation for the fact that they do not come to Jesus is ultimately this. The Father has not chosen them. The Father has not given them to Jesus. The Father does not give them the grace to come to Jesus. Jesus makes it very clear that this is the issue. The issue is not merely that there were many people who were around Him on that day who didn't believe. But the issue is this. There were many people around Him that day that the Lord Jesus Christ did not want to believe in Him. And He did not want them to believe in Him because the Father had not chosen them or given them to Him. So that in the end, although those people were guilty for rejecting Jesus Christ, the truth is this. He rejected them sovereignly. He rejected them and turned them away from Him. They do not come to Jesus because ultimately God did not give them the power to come. This is exactly where many make a mistake, and even many Reformed interpreters of Scripture will try to say that here in this text, God the Father wants salvation to be given to all, and that Jesus Christ is offering to all that if they come to Him, He will save them. But that only proves how committed they are to their own man-made doctrines and teachings. Jesus in the text does not say, I want all to come to me. And if you're willing to come to me, I will save you. He says this, all whom the Father has chosen, they will come to me. The elect will come. That's the promise. That's the assurance of the text. Assurance, I say, and comfort. Because the reality is that the elect do not have free will of themselves either. The reality is that the elect will not willingly choose to come to Jesus Christ themselves any more than the reprobate. What Jesus is saying, though, is that it's not up to them. This is the sovereign work of God the Father. You must come, and you will come to Jesus. Because the sovereign God who has chosen you, has sovereignly redeemed you from your sins, sovereignly gives you grace by His Word and Spirit, and according to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 44, draws you so that you will come. So I say to you this morning, come to Jesus as the Savior, the Redeemer, who take away all of your sins and give you everlasting life. Not because I think you have the power in yourselves to come to Jesus. Not because God offers to everyone here, everyone who comes under the preaching of the gospel salvation, and if they're willing, they may receive that salvation. But I say to you, come to Jesus, knowing that the Father will use that word by the power of His Spirit to draw His own, all that He has given to Jesus, to Himself. Come to Jesus and be certain that He will receive you. Jesus says concerning those who truly come to Him with the heart of faith this morning, I'm not going to leave you empty. I'm not going to push you away. When you partake of the sacrament, I'm not going to leave you without the knowledge of forgiveness and the knowledge of eternal life. You come to me in true faith, I'm not going to leave you without my Spirit. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And if you come to me in true faith, I will never cast you into hell, but I will save you forever. What happens to those who do not believe is that they are cast out. And that means eternally. That means cast away from the presence of the Father. They perish forever. But it means this morning too, there's no benefit for those who do not believe in partaking of the sacrament or coming under the preaching of the Word. No, this is Jesus' reassuring word for His people. If you come to me in faith, in humility, knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that I am the righteous one, the Son of God, and do you have any concern that because I am so righteous and pure, and because you are so sinful and guilty, that I will reject you? Jesus says, no. Come to me, sinners, having your eyes open to your sin and your guilt. And see, that's exactly the kind of person that I receive and that I embrace. Come to Jesus in faith and He will forgive you. He will feed your soul. He will nourish you into everlasting life and give you life with the Father. Amen.